If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
What happens when we get a sub on this?
Welcome to the Young Hot Guys with Shane Daniel Byrne, Tony Cantwell, and Killian Sunderman with Peter McGann.
And it's just Peter.
Emma Doran.
And it's just
and
Peter.
Michael Fry.
You and Westerns.
Yeah, someday we should just sub all of us out.
Ooh, the reserves.
And then have just three other people who are young hot guys. Because, you know, being a young guy is just it's a state of mind.
I think we should do old hot guys and we should bring in kids to replace us.
Okay.
As a kind of like an opposite kind of thing.
Three children. I don't know any children, really.
Do you have any like little nieces or little cousins?
I have no nephews or nieces.
Yeah, we could get, you have two.
I have two kids, yeah.
So that's two. We only need one more.
The baby can't talk.
No.
Probably still being
improved.
That'd be
a good dynamic.
She's
always like, Sonny's always like, what about, you know, dinosaurs? And she's like, no.
You're like, Wolverine has three claws and Wolverine son only has two claws. And she's like, no. This is quality.
Your silence speaks so loudly.
They're attractive.
They're very attractive.
Hot and loud.
And a little bit sad.
He was the best guy around.
Oh my. Is it hot in here or what?
You're an attractive guy.
It's the fabulous Tony Cantwell.
I'm talking about Shane Daniel Byrne.
Anmil Ceadagam ag dul go dtí an Rira.
Oh, stop.
Oh, stop.
It's so tempting to do a little Gaeilge joke about Rira because it's in Rira. But Rira is the beer that sponsored this podcast. A light and fresh lager brewed in Kilcool, County Wicklow.
And you know what? I like when I'm getting a lager, I like it to be Irish. Irish lager for Irish people. I know, but they're very...
I know, and credit where it's due to Rira because where a lot of people are put up the price of their pint, Rira or deliberately are not.
Yes.
So stick it independent. If you want to save money on the price of your pint, get yourself a pint of Rira.
Get a little busca. That's what they're called, isn't it?
A little busca of cans. Or a Molly. A Molly, a canny as well.
Molly canny. They've got it all.
The way to make a bag of cans is get a bag and put cans in it and you can get Rira cans and put them in and that makes any bag a bag of cans. Rira, Grub Markov.
Thanks for sponsoring.
Thanks, guys.
Where to, pal?
Take me to the hospital, please. I've been stabbed.
Oh, be God. Well, in my opinion, laughter is the best medicine. If I was you, I'd head down to buy two tickets to see Kevin McGarren at Liberty Hall on the 26th of April.
What the fuck are you talking about, man? I've been stabbed, you stupid prick. Oh, wait, is that Kevin McGarren, the former host of Republic of Telly and Sim Card from Hardy Books?
The very same. He was also the host of Clear History, but not as many people watched that.
Wow, yes, I've always enjoyed him on podcasts. He's very funny.
Well, he's even better live.
Come here, you wouldn't happen to have any out-of-context clips that prove that he's funny but doesn't give away too much of his actual material?
I do indeed. I'll stick in the tape here.
Why is that funny? I don't know. Like your uncle playing the spoons. Just... Boris Johnson, a man who looks like he'd drink water out of a packet of sliced ham.
I'm bleeding quite heavily, but that does seem gas.
So I'll take you down to the hospital, will I?
Fuck the hospital. Take me down to Liberty Hall so I can get front row seats to see Kev McGarren on the 26th of April.
A very wise decision.
And it's so great to finally hear a woman on the airwaves just proudly saying no.
Yeah.
You know, that is such a hard word for so many. And, you know, we all take on that mum guilt, don't we?
Yeah.
We all do. And it's so hard to say no. But I think we do need to really...
No. Emotional load. No.
Yeah, I pulled back from that because I was like, actually, this, I'm going to verge into misogyny there.
I know, and everything you were saying is true.
Yeah. But I'm making fun of people who think they have something to say when they just say the same. Same thing as everybody else. That's the intention of my joke.
How dare people think they have something to say like us?
Yeah. Oh, God. That's what have I done? Oh, my God, I'm digging a hole.
Yeah.
I can't be.
I need the Deirdres and the Gronjes. Yeah. Don't leave me. Please,
I can't be
I'm sorry.
I'm gay. Yeah.
Gays are often misogynist. Actually, can I call out gays?
Okay. We call it everyone. The women, the suffragettes,
all that's
the gays.
Left is straight men.
I
all
saw
you've got
this,
left is straight men.
Yeah.
There's a thing that
there needs to be something for them.
some gays do where I saw it today. Now, more fooled me because every now and then I do a declutter and delete all the hot guys that I follow.
Oh, that's good.
And I'm like, get away from me because they're. I'm just following you because you're hot.
Oh, that's why you unfollowed me. I was wondering why you weren't following me anymore.
Mm-hmm. I actually haven't checked. I've never followed you. I'm not interested in your work.
You go to a thing and say follow back.
But this guy, and there's this thing that some gays will do where they pretend that straight people are like these wild aliens to them. And he was like, I just was talking to these guys who live in my building and they were so lovely. It was like, actually, so well-meaning. He's like, straight people are so sweet and shy. It was like, what are you talking about? There's another one where they do, where they go, I was out last night. I was in some straight bar. God, so dumb. I was like, get drinking to me because I'm going to need it. I was like, what? Most bars is straight bars.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
Are straight people okay?
Yeah. Some are straight people okay is funny.
Yeah, they are funny.
Because sometimes I do think the only thing straight people of my age are interested in is paneling their house. That's the only thing.
What's that? Or putting up like
a statement. They put up paneling in their hand. It's like, she did her own paneling. Ooh, did she? Yes, she watched it. And that's what they're interested in doing is putting up paneling in the houses that...
So DIY.
Do not suit paneling.
Yeah.
They put 1980s up those houses frames. Don't need paneling.
Do you know what I miss? You don't see a lot of these days. People putting Roman columns outside their house. That was a big thing. You don't see that anymore. And like Terry was always like...
That's because you've moved up your middle class.
I'm middle class.
Yeah, that's what happened.
No, I've got friends in areas that would have previously had Roman columns and they just don't have them anymore. They still have, the lady on the rock. Is that the one?
I love the lady. Yeah.
She's sitting there and that's great. But there are no Roman columns anymore, you know. And you could see them in like in home base, and they'd be like plastic.
Yeah, and you can't get the good jokes anymore.
Those two things are directly. There's out in Dunleary, there's a lot of like people who built houses. I don't know when, like maybe in the 19th century, maybe in the early 20th century, but they made like little castles.
Like a normal
Victorian house, and then. One, like, you know, just particularly rich person was like, mine's going to be a castle. And it's got like little turrets on it and stuff like that. I'm like, who are you defending yourself from?
Have you ever seen that Grand Designs where the guy wants to build a castle?
Yeah.
He bought a castle and he's trying to make it into an extension, but he has no plans and he has no architect. And what's your man's name?
McLeod.
McLeod, yeah.
He's brilliant.
He's there and he's like, so can I see the plans? And he's like, there's no plans, all up in here, all up here.
Oh, I love it.
And so going to extend this way. And I was like, and I can't remember his name, maybe it was Angus. I'm like, Angus keeps changing his mind. The builders are baffled. And the whole episode, like, nothing gets done. It's like, I want this gravelled straight, you know? I want a big tiered, I want a watchtower. And they're like, okay, like, so build it. Like, there was no structure at all. And then eventually, like, at the end, like, it was the exact same. He'd spent, like, $3 million on it. And he's all, I should have made some plans.
I do like, there's so a certain sassy. Energy of that I do like of those men who kind of like, no, it's all in my head.
Yeah.
Like, if anybody wants to come... You can take a tour with my dad of various, he'll show you various men who've been tinkering at their houses for 35 years.
Oh, really?
Like building their own extensions kind of thing, or loft extension with the pointed out windows. Like there's just men who, there's a few in Harold's Cross. Well, I can only think of two, so it'll be a quick tour.
But
would he be able to give us this? Say we drove around Harold's Cross, would he be like, no planning for that? There was planning for that.
When I was learning to drive, my dad did point out, like, you know, you learn to drive, it's stressful. And he did point out there was a fellow who lived there and they set him on fire. You know, this kind of thing. I think he was a paedophile.
Light on the brake there, Shane.
The brake.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, bit of business up ahead. That's my,
bit of business up ahead.
That's there was guards. One of my first trips in the car, I got breathalyzed on like my third time on the road.
And Jesus.
My dad was positively giddy beside me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, he's delighted.
Yeah, but I was pretty stressed because I was drunk. Like, I was like...
It's scary. It's like when the ticket inspector gets on and you've got a ticket, but you're still scared. You're like, oh, God.
He won't see me. He'll see a Tony Shane fucking shadow. Anna was
once, we were pulled over and Anna had to blow into the thing. And she had like half a beer like a few hours before. Mm. So she was really nervous. And the guy puts the thing in and he goes, and he's really matter of fact. He's like, oh, just blow into that there. And she's like... And she just put her lips on it and didn't blow.
Cute.
Thought she'd get away with it.
She went like that. And then he was like, just a little bit of blow there. And then she just starts blowing a little bit. And then he's like, little more now. She just like was not blowing. Like, maybe this will work if I just don't. Anyway, she passed.
That's
fine.
Great.
Yeah. No, she, and then, yeah, she was severely over the limit and hasn't driven since.
When she had her lips on it and he said, a little bit of blow there, did she take out a bag of cocaine? And he was like,
gotcha. He's like, you're all right for this one. Go on.
Yeah, go on.
Go on. You're young. Enjoy yourself.
I'll go and get a key there and get off. There. Get a bump there.
Get the phone here. Fizzy bump. Yeah.
How was your holidays, Tony?
I had a wonderful time. I had some very interesting happen on the way, and you know, you go through security now. And Dublin Airport's great now. They don't have you don't have to take anything out of the bag.
Oh, it's incredible.
Oh, it's
incredible.
Brilliant. Yeah.
You don't
oh,
take anything out of the bag.
Much faster. You go much right faster. Through, don't
fly through.
Yeah.
You go so fast.
Because
so,
I'd be stressed some of the time going through. I'm like, here, God.
It's all the liquids and everything. Like, it's like, okay, we know that's liquid. We know that's wires. We know that's bomb. You know, it's very simple. Anyway, we're going through, right? And we have this this pram. And it's a perambulator. And it's a baby's Zen yo-yo. It's great. Greatest pram you could ever buy. It folds up to the size of a laptop bag and you can put it in the overhead. It's amazing. Wow. Ours is fucking piggity though. Like, it is so dirty. Mm. It's like covered and caked in like yogurt, mashed in like jellies and, you know,
would there be rice cake involved?
There would be rice cake. There would be chocolate rice cake. It's mm-hmm. all mashed into, and I could be arsed cleaning that, right? Yeah. I do enough cleaning in the house, right? So I'm like, anyway, we're pushing it through.
That's shade at Terry there. Oh, well, I could be asking, are you enough cleaning around the house?
That's right, it is. Okay. It is a total shade.
You hear that, bitch? Clean your house.
You are losing the female audience as we
this
speak.
This is a misogynist podcast today, so if you're not happy with that, just tune
in. It's young hot guys, not young hot, everyone. Anyway, we're pushing the thing through and it's a little bit stressful, less stressful because you don't have to get out of the bags, but like Sonny's trying to run off. Like, I'm convinced that if we ever go to America, he's going to try and pull the cop's gun. You know? Yeah. He has to grab everything, you know. There's no like thing ungrabbed, no fucking sweet on the floor, unsucked or whatever. So he's like, we're going through, he goes through the thing and then I push the pram through and they're like, okay, so we just need to swab this. And the one takes that little, you know, bit of bog roll or whatever they have on the sweeping brush and sweeps it, puts it in this thing. And the machine, the screen on the thing goes bright red and it says, alert.
Oh no.
I'm like, what is this? And she goes, look, sometimes she just picks up the wrong thing. She takes out another one, clicks the thing off, gets another one, swipes it, puts it through again, and it goes, alert. And then it starts spewing out rolls and rolls of receipts, but like loads of information on it. And I was like, what's going on there? And she goes, can you just stand there for 1 second? And then I'm just going to try one more time. And she was a bit shook and she walks around to another one and I can hear in the faint distance, and I'm like, all right. And she goes back, she's like, who are you? And I'm like, I'm Tony. What do you do? I'm a comedian. And she goes, oh, great. Where are you going?
she
didn't seem impressed by it. Or she seemed like, you know.
Yeah.
You know. And then she was like, where are you going? And I'm like, we're going to Malaga. Where have you been? And I was like, London, I don't know, Tenerife. Like, what's going on? And she goes, can I see your passport? Takes scans of all the passport. Where are you staying? Had to give her the address and everything. And she was like, kind of grilling me for like 15, 20 minutes. And she was really nice with Sonny. And then eventually someone came over and they were like, it's fine. And I was like, okay. And she goes, or you can go now. And I said, what was it? Like, what did it test positive for? And then she says, do you really want to know? Which is like, now I definitely
of course.
I mean, oh my God. And she goes, tested positive for TNT.
Stop.
For dynamite. And I said to her, are you telling me that my pram is so fucking piggity that it is fermented into an explosive device? And she was like, no, apparently there's traces of TNT in the air at all times. And somehow it just kind of got on the boogie. And
I mean, like, I've heard of an explosive nappy event the other time. This is something else.
That takes the biscuit.
And also, what would have been really unfortunate, if me and Terry had been wearing t-shirts, you would have seen that we both have TNT tattoos.
Oh, yeah.
We just love TNT in this house. We coat it and everything. Our clothes are boogie.
What a great story. You know, you could have that on, you know, Graham Norton, I think. That would be, not the red chair. I think you'd be a guest on it.
Yeah. I think the red chair, you would survive, though.
Would I?
Yeah.
If you get there far enough, the reveal would be good. He'd let you walk.
Yeah. I think he'd kind of go, okay.
Because you'd need to get there quick enough to be like the thing of like, what did you, or do you really want to know? You need to hear that pretty quick.
I feel like whenever the Irish people are in the red chair, they always go down because they go, Graham, I'm Irish. And then he goes, like that. He's always just like,
Do you think he really has control over that chair? That'd be hard to do. I think someone's reefing that chair from behind.
It's not his lever, isn't real. Someone's watching it intently. Why don't you ask him since you're such best friends?
Might do. Mm-hmm. Hey, Graham, I got a question. Okay, you get one. Okay, shit. Is that lever for the red chair real? Yeah.
It is.
Oh, also, can you give me a quote for my poster? You had one question.
That's Wait, it. Can you not use what when he said you were the funniest thing he's ever seen?
If
or
it's
something?
On, if it's on record like that, it's you on can record. Use yeah. Use you don't have to ask permission for that.
Graham Norton, the funniest man I've ever met, or something like
it
that.
It was something that big. It was something that. Yeah,
you absolutely. If he said it like that, that it's recorded on record, you can put the quote in the poster. You don't have to ask his permission, but. Sometimes people ask people for quotes in those posters.
Do you know what I'm getting a bit tired of is like Irish people interviewing Irish celebrities on the red carpet.
Oh, yeah.
It's really getting a bit like, I know we love when something happens to Ireland on an international level and it's really great and proud because we're a small country punching big or whatever. But because there's so much... Like, because there's so much representation at the moment, we're doing very well in sort of the media actors, arts and stuff.
During the Oscar Just
in,
season.
Yeah, in the Oscar season and all that kind of stuff. Like, we still haven't become cool with it and made it, it's not normal to us still. So, like, no. We still have people, like, going up to like, you know, Cillian Murphy at the Oscars asking him, like, what's his, does he like ham sandwiches and stuff?
Yeah.
And, like, is his mammy proud of him and stuff?
What's your favorite spice bag?
Yeah.
Topic?
And, like, are you Irish? And he's like, I am, yeah. And we go, what? And then it gets loads
I didn't even know we had spice bag toppings.
What yeah, it's just that kind of thing. It's a little bit like.
Yeah. I think it's a sentiment where it's kind of like, I need to take you down a peg in the nicest way possible yeah. and bring you back down to earth because yeah. it'll get great kind of ratings.
What I love about it
but
is.
But he's not
this...
eating meanies anymore. Don't give him a pack of meanies. Yeah, do you know what I mean? He's not eating them anymore.
He's, well, like, he has
it's a long
to play
time
ball
since
with them.
Cillian Murphy ate meanies.
Yeah, a long time.
You think he's ever given his boys meanies?
I don't.
I'd say they have probably very healthy
food. I'd say that was, I'd say when his kids were talking in those English accents, I'd say he was stuffing meanies into their mouths. I'd say he was, he was giving them a meanie sandwich. He was like, eat that now. Don't talk to me until you've eaten a whole bag of meanies. They ate as many meanies until they were speaking.
We're going to meanie that accent over you.
Fair play to meanies. They've really lasted the course.
Yeah.
So many have fallen by the wayside.
Sam Spuds, Burger Bites, Banshee Bones.
The Banshee Bones are back.
Are they?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we all got t-shirts about it.
Oh, yeah, we did.
They sent us all the... But the wheelies...
Wheelies tasted like shit. They probably were better for you and had much less sodium, but they were no there was no umami oomph from them. You know what I mean? Compare that to like an Aldi onion ring, which is like all red lights on the bottom.
Yeah.
You know? I think the wheelies just were kind of like...
Damn. I recall eating them in Pirate Pete's.
In Dundrum.
Was it Dundrum?
Dundrum used to be Pirate Pete's. From my memory as a kid, Dundrum before the shopping centre was that place called Pirate Pete's.
It was like entirety of Dundrum.
That's what it was known for.
People were just boarding each other's vessels. Yeah. It was actually a haven for
piracy.
For piracy, yeah.
They're real pirates.
Yeah. Where do you think they got all the money for the town centre?
Yeah.
Pieces of eight. Yeah, I've not been there. Remember we had the Giraffe Center. That was the one we'd go to. They'd call it the Giraffe Center. I think it just had a picture of a giraffe on the outside.
Where was it?
It was in Santry.
Where is it?
Yeah, you wouldn't really know. Yeah.
Like Leisureplex birthday parties were really, really fun.
Oh, yeah.
What did you guys do to the Coca-Cola at the end of the party? You know the way you're given, like, I think it's a, you get a sausage and chips or a burger and chips or chicken nuggets and chips. And then it's just like, you know, 50 kids eating chips and like using ketchup unattended. They're not being like watched while they're using the ketchup. And when kids are allowed to use ketchup on their own, it becomes like a toy.
It becomes ketchup soup with chips.
Yeah. And you just start squirting it into the fucking ketchup, mixing around, dipping your chips in, like fucking dip your chip in. What's better, Pepsi or Coke? I actually think this is Coke. I don't think it's Pepsi. Mm. That kind of thing. Mm. But like making these disgusting, very little of the food gets actually eaten.
Mm. Yeah, the ketchup thing, there was always that moment in your life everyone remembers when you'd be like having your dip ketchup on the side and then some cousin, some family friend, whatever it would be like, I'm doing my ketchup sprinkled across over the chips in like, and that kind of artistic flair.
Yeah.
And like no one knew what to do next.
Yeah.
Because it was like, well, it was too late for you. You have your little bit on the side like a man. Like your little loser, and was like, "How do I compete with this?" Like, yeah, I know. I knew about that. I knew about that, but I chose not to. I actually, I don't like that anymore. I used to like that. So, like,
see, I hated that. Yeah. So I thought you were going the direction of like they kind of ruined the whole plate of chips.
No, I thought it was so sexy.
No, it's like Picasso. No. You know, very continental European. See, I remember I was in McDonald's once, and my friend, I just ordered a Happy Meal. And then he ordered something off like the menu.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm just a stupid little fucking kid.
Baby.
I'm a dumb little baby boy. I was like, can I have chicken nugget Happy Meal? And he was like, yeah, maybe I'll have I'll start with the salad. And then maybe I'll have the Big Mac, please. And I'm just like sitting there going, I'm a stupid little boy.
God, can I get some cutlery, please?
I haven't even read Ulysses. And he's like, he's like, yeah. It was the most like kind of cool continental so suave thing.
Yeah.
I was just like, I'm an idiot.
He got a quarter pound of cheese and you were there playing with a toy.
I was like, how do you get the toy? It's like,
well, actually, if you spend 50 cents, you can get the toy as well.
What's this?
You can get the toy. You can pay for the toy. The McDonald's staff recently have seemed a bit gormless. Well, I haven't been in a while. I've actually been in since the boycott, I will say. Mm-hmm. But which has actually been tough. It's been very tough for.
I know, because you want it.
It's been. Well, I feel like I can't really moan about how tough not getting McDonald's is. But sometimes you want to keep the kids happy. But yeah, they've been a bit gormless with kind of giving you the toy. But you could go in and just say, "Hey, I'll get." I did that as a kid. Can I just get Big Mac meal and gives a little toy there, and actually gives the one that I need. Gives like Cyclops from the X-Men.
Oh yeah.
You know, I just go and have a look. Go on, make my day.
Does cereal still have toys in it?
No, I think they're not allowed anymore.
And the McDonald's toys aren't plastic. They're all either like kind of like a felt kind of thing or made of cardboard. That's it. Which is good. They were the biggest toy manufacturer in the world and all the toys were getting binned. Like where McDonald's toys go, they go straight in the bin.
Yeah.
They still exist. That's what I find weird. Every McDonald's toy you ever had is still out there somewhere in the world.
But there was a glorious heyday of movie companies just getting involved with a tie-in and like before they even knew if the film was going to be a success and just putting so much into it. Like there was a follow-up series to Power Rangers called the Knights of Tir na n'Og. And they thought it was going to be huge. And it was like all these things based from Irish folklore, but shot like Power Ranger was made by Saban. And there was so much money put into it. There was like a Burger King toy line. And these things are like kind of, easy to find online. But like the fact that these toys of like, oh my God, I got Queen Maeve for a completely unsuccessful show that flopped. Do you know what I mean? There was a glorious heyday of plastic waste in the 90s. I'm glad it's gone. But you don't know what it was like when like Batman Forever was coming out and you'd get like, toys from different, you were just eating junk food, getting different fucking plastic icons.
Had a really good one that was a burger box like McDonald's, but it also was a turtle.
And yeah, they were great. The Transformers were the best. That.
A burger big box?
It was like, picture a little plastic burger box, like a McDonald's burger box, but it was a turtle. So he would transform into a turtle.
You'd fold the head out and the arms would come out of the burger box. There was also like a robot fries.
The era when you didn't care, you didn't have to worry about the earth like just ending, right?
Oh, yeah.
But like it was funny because I was always like, God, like I wish I lived in the, I wish that was my heyday where I didn't like, I could just enjoy things without the guilt.
Mm.
But then there was just actual like Catholic guilt way harder and also the threat of nuclear destruction.
Mm.
Like it was just something else. I don't think there's ever been an era where you've just been like...
We have a bit of a threat of nuclear destruction at the moment though.
Yeah, but the threat was much like there was a boat going to Cuba and it was like, there was one phone call that stopped it from going tits up. So like this idea that we're, it's like, God, we're really living in an age where it's all going to end, which it is, and it is awful. Like, I mean, I'm like, oh God, I wish I lived in the 60s where they thought like kind of plasticky food was actually cool and good for you and smoking was
grand.
There's
a great scene in Mad Men, where they have a picnic. So the family have a little picnic. And then at the end, I think it might be in slow motion, they're packing up to finish the picnic and they have the blanket out.
Oh, yeah.
And Don Draper's just stands up and just whips the picnic blanket and all their detritus of their stuff just onto the grass.
Yeah.
And they just walk off and get back in the car. And it's not, I remember seeing somebody saying like, even in the 60s, you wouldn't. I was like, it's a metaphor. I was like, it's just telling us.
Some would.
By the way, some would do it, certainly. Some do it now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's trying to say, like, this is how devil may care they were about the hole where they didn't know.
One of my favorite videos in the world is when that guy's trying to throw the mattress in. Our
brain is the same.
That's
brain.
That's insane.
That came in my head.
Yeah.
There's a man trying to get rid of a mattress. Where is it? In the Sally Gap somewhere in Wicklow.
Yeah.
And
what does he keep saying? Being like, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, some guy catches a guy and he's some middle-aged man.
Yeah. And your man goes back to be fair to him, yeah. rather than just drive off. He's
what
like,
"What the hell do you think you're doing?"
And he's trying to laugh about it, but like he's getting scolded.
Yeah,
as a man,
that's him being made the little boy.
Good. He's been made a little boy.
Yeah. Like when you got hit by the car.
When I got hit by the car, it was almost like the guy got out of the car and he had his pants around his ankles and he was pissing at a urinal and I could see his bare bottom because he was a little boy.
Yeah,
you are a little boy now. You are a hairless boy.
That's what happened to the mattress man. He threw it out. He got caught and he took his comeuppance.
The only way to get to respond to being scolded as an adult is to look someone dead in the eye and be like, "You're dead right. I'm completely wrong. I'm sorry." It's the only way. Yeah. If you kind of be like, no, hang on, and then you're kind of like driving
accept
back,
it.
Kind of
we get made a little boy maybe once a year, and it just happens, and you accept it. You accept it. You look him dead in the eye and say, "I'm a little boy.
I'm a little boy."
And then you pull down your pants. That's never happened to me. I'm a legend. So.
You've been made a little boy.
I will let you know when I'm next made a little boy.
Okay, do. But I feel like you've got good defenses for persuading someone that you weren't a little boy.
Well, I'd never do anything wrong. That's the key really
one.
Important.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I feel sometimes that when you have fights with Raymond, you tell me, but you maybe don't tell him that you were wrong. You're like, and it was totally my fault.
Yeah.
That could be true.
You were like, "I totally instigated a fight because I was tired and it wasn't his fault and it was mine." Anyway.
We had a really big fight the night after my Vicar Street. It was one of the biggest fights we ever had.
Yeah.
It was just too much adrenaline or electricity running around your body. Mm. It was over takeaway. It was over something. I was like, "Get food." And he's like, "We'll cook food." And I was like, "You bastard!" He's like, "I'll just cook this." And I was like, "How dare you?"
Welcome to the Baby Tribe Podcast, your essential companion through the journey of parenting. I'm Professor Afif Al-Kafash, a neonatologist, pediatrician, researcher and lactation consultant at the Rotunda Hospital Dublin and the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland.
And I'm Katie Mugan, a pediatric and public health nurse and a lactation consultant. Together with over 40 years of experience in caring for infants and children, we're here to share expert insights, inspiring stories and give you access to an amazing array of experts in parenting and the field of pediatrics. And we're covering topics that span all the childhood years, from infancy straight through to the adolescence. We're going to cover it all.
It's not going to be just about the challenges. It's going to be about the joys, the milestones and stories that will hopefully warm your heart. And I'm sure, Katie, you're still going to give me as much abuse as you did before.
It's going to be a great season. Afif, and we're so pleased to have all you guys join with us.
Available every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts, in association with the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Have we totally lost the Columbus hype now? Are people still... We know he's like the worst war criminal ever now. Like, we know that
We listen to the Rest is History podcast. Do you know that podcast?
No, I don't.
It's great. It's two English academics, the nerdiest men ever, talking about basically everything. Like, the noises you're making.
English, academia. Yeah.
They're those types of English, like, academics who know everything. They know the whole history of the world and everything.
Mm.
You know, those people that are like, "Oh, well, you know, the earlier later period where, you know, of course, Tutankhamun." They say Tutankhamun. They know everything. They know absolutely every little bit of history.
They know the streets.
Yeah, they don't know the streets.
They don't know
the
streets.
That's the issue. They don't know the streets.
Wow.
And they do sometimes...
They don't know the way around a pussy. That's for sure.
Apparently there's four bits of a pussy now.
They're still finding new bits.
They're still finding new bits.
And that's why it's important we fund academia. Keep finding new bits of pussy.
Oh my goodness, Shane.
There's three bits of willy and four bits of pussy. Is there three? Two balls, yeah. Go on, sorry.
I can't remember. Sorry, my mind has been compuzzled. Oh, I've never seen a naked body before.
Chris Columbus.
Christopher Columbus.
No, yeah, but he
What year did he make his voyage to America?
1492.
Correct. What were the names of the three ships?
Santa Maria.
The Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria.
Very good.
So too fast.
Isn't it
I hate the way you fight.
Isn't it mad that we know that stuff, like... We just learned that as if that's really important. That's how dominant America's culture is.
But what was
we
the
learned
name?
That so important. Learn that off. You must remember. Where was Michael Collins shot?
Boher and Bra.
Both wrong. Bell and the Blah.
Bell and the Blah.
See, you know more about the Americas.
What was the name?
I would have got there. You gave me 2 seconds.
If you had, if it was an exam in school, you would have got it wrong.
No, what was the song that plays over the movie?
They don't say answer 2 seconds.
When he gets shot.
She Moved Through the Fair.
Okay, yeah, good.
Sung by Julia Roberts in the film and Sinead O'Connor in the soundtrack.
Oh, was not Sinead O'Connor in the film?
Julia Roberts sings it at a party.
What was the question about she moved through the fair?
When Michael Collins gets shot in the film.
Oh, yeah. Because that song was misinterpreted. I can't remember. Someone played it recently.
Oh, she sings He Moved Through the Fair in the movie.
Oh, I hate when they do that.
Well, you're talking about Michael Collins.
So what? Like,
I hate to do that as well, but it also is kind of funny, the idea of that song of like watching this man moving this way and that way. His feet made no din. Just this gentle man walking through the fair.
Just like a clodhopper fucking
clearly about a lady.
Guy.
Yeah, a lady song. About
Jesus, Mick. I know, Mick.
But I don't like when they do that with songs. Like I think a Bublé does it sometimes and stuff.
Where Santa they, buddy.
Yeah, I just
I'm
don't.
Not gay.
What the hell is that about?
Not gay over here.
But does
not
he
gay.
Say, change Jolene to John? John, I'm begging you, please don't take my gal. Like, don't, it's not, the song isn't you.
No,
you're
not,
like, you're taking on the, it's so annoying.
I think Cyndi Lauper did a version of a Prince song and didn't change it. And people were like, what the fuck? Because she still said she, instead of he. And that was
come
it.
On.
As if Prince gave a shit who he's having sex with.
I know, yeah.
Absolute, willfully ignorant of gender.
He said that, the great line, he's like, I'm not a woman. I'm not a man. I'm something that you'll never understand.
Oh,
great
yeah.
Line. Great good. Line, but also true. And remember, he was a symbol then. Remember, he made himself the artist formerly known as Prince, and then he was that symbol.
Which is the male symbol?
It was kind of a mix of both. It was basically, he was like, I'm a non-binary before anybody was doing that.
Yeah, but can you just tell me what button on the keyboard I can press for it?
I don't think there was.
I know there wasn't. That's what's amazing.
It's on the sign.
That's what I loved. Yeah. Mm. Anyway, Chris Columbus was non-binary.
They were basically saying that, like, most people knew that there was land over there.
Mm.
And it was kind of like known. It was a known thing. And that while he was the first to sort of go over there and create this trade route, there was a lot of evidence to suggest.
Was he actually aiming
the Navigator,
for India?
Baby.
Sorry? He never gave up on that. He fully was like, I have created a new trade route to India. And he was convinced, and everyone was like, this is obviously a different place. This is not India. And he was so like, all the lads would be like, oh, the new world. And he's like, India? We're in India. They're like, sure, Chris. Yeah, look at this. India.
Isn't it the stupidest thing in the world that an American would be like, look at that Indian guy. For Native American.
Yeah.
Like Indian. From Delhi.
Yeah.
You know?
They just decided.
But he wouldn't give up on it.
The
Everyone
Indian
else was
casino.
Like, obviously not Indian. Well,
that's so typical of a man born in Genoa, Italy.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What are you being sent over by King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella?
Someone
of Portugal.
Does someone do their junior cert history? What did you get?
Probably good in that, yeah.
Probably good. Shane is probably good.
Were you doing all your World War II stuff from memory?
Yeah, I had
and
first
then I,
sources.
Oh, I mean they.
No, but we are. It is an amazing. Like,
that's a
they teach
syllabus.
You all that stuff. That's a big part of junior cert, and it's kind of nice for young people that age learning about this, that, and the other. And Magellan did this, and then he was stabbed in the with a poison spear, and it's interesting stuff and exciting.
Yeah, that burn the boats.
What they
says.
Don't ever mention, I'm wondering about this a lot lately about how like we think of Europe as the center of civilization because of like the Roman Empire or whatever.
And the center of Europe,
but, like,
is
have
Ireland.
You heard? Have you heard of Japan? You know what I mean? Like, these people were doing things. They were doing things way before other things. Whatever, writing down their language that didn't exist. Whatever, doing things. We're not, Europe is not the center of that, but we learn in school, they never say, and by the way, when they went there, they killed everybody.
Yes.
And they took all their stuff. And it wasn't like they went over and went, we extend the hand. You shall now learn this alphabet. The people were just living their life and they're like, this is ours now. We have this. And then they're like, I'm pretty sure we own this. Like, kill them all.
Yeah.
But all history is just kind of like the global history. Like the global history that you're taught is kind of just following the money, isn't it? Like you're just kind of following where the money went. Like each time and where they got and how they got the money.
Ancient Egypt, you do that.
Yeah.
Ancient Greece, you get a bit of that. Then we do the Celts.
Greece, pretty sexy.
Ancient Greece, Greeks. And then
what about the Egyptians? You're about the Pharaoh and his wife.
What?
Egypt all over.
Oh,
I make Connor Moore's joke.
Egypt all over. That's all. That's like, I mean, and then you do Columbus. You don't do much of Asia at all.
No, you don't. You should.
No.
No.
I had an amazing epiphany.
Or properly Africa.
I took an edible and I went to the British Museum And I was walking around, and it's eye opening to see like all the stuff they've stolen, and like to see like a shield from New Zealand from, you know, Captain Cook's voyage with a bullet hole in it that says, you know, donated from
generously donated by the locals.
And then you go into like downstairs and they just have the front of the fucking Parthenon. Like they just have like, it takes up, it's a huge like 3-story building. It's like, how did you even get this in here? Give this back. Yeah. But I remember walking around, and this is when I was kind of deep into my edible, and I was walking along, there are these big walls. They look like kind of the equivalent of hieroglyphics, but they're kind of, you know, indented and, you know, a few centuries later from the Assyrian kings. And all the Assyrian kings have all like all the walls of their temples had them like on chariots chasing after lions, hunting lions. And the greater kings had more lions and all this stuff. And
they're obsessed with lions.
And I was watching this, and I was looking at all this, and I'm like, not only do I not know who these kings are, and these were probably the greatest people of civilization, I don't even know what the Assyrians are. And it made me just so relieved that we have no lasting legacy and we have no impact and our time is finite. And that's class, because like no one's going to remember anything. So it really is just this week.
Yeah, I think that's a thing that comes with age as well. You think about that, because I was looking at, like, I'm old enough now to have seen Taoiseach that I remember.
You're going to say Empire's Fall.
Empire's Fall.
Well, in a similar way.
Extravision.
In a similar way, John Bruton died. And I remember when John Bruton was the Taoiseach. And like, so it's like, I now remember this was the case. And it's like, you watch it and you're like, this carry on of people getting their, sticking their oar in and demanding this or the other. It's like, you'll be just dead.
But now Simon Harris will outlive us all.
Simon Harris will outlive us all, because he is, of course, he is already dead and is a zombie creeping his way around.
Or he probably might be killed, because I think, and not to say I want anything, but I feel like he's just, his head's on the butcher's block. I feel like he's just been laid out like a little lamb to the slaughter.
No, well, because I think he'll get, he'll be able to go through. For international listeners, we have, in a true British tradition, we have a new prime minister who we didn't vote for.
Now this is
then
weeks
again,
later.
None
this
of them.
Is...
We've had three now, and none of them won the majority, so we didn't vote for any of them.
No.
Yeah.
If you want it, we actually voted for Mary Lou, really, kind of.
Mm. Yeah, that's
well, true. That's debatable. But anyway, Mary Lou. But anyway, I think he'll go through to the next one. He'd be headed for Finnegan for a few years.
I don't know. You see a lot of opinion pieces written about him by like international newspapers, and they're all writing like Simon Harris. He is this social media savvy politician from Ireland who is really using. He's a young, dynamic social media. They call him the TikTok Taoiseach.
He's found a way to use Windows Media Player to make his TikToks.
You know where TikTok Taoiseach comes from? Your mate Oliver Callan. That's a Callan's kick friend.
Okay,
your best friend, Oliver Callan.
Oliver Callan is a colleague, a man who I really like and is a very talented comedian.
Why won't he have us in Callan Kicks the Ears?
I feel like you guys are quite upset that you guys aren't on the TV show.
Is it because we said no to No Worries If Not? Is that why we doesn't want us in Callan Kicks the Ears?
Does he know about that?
Does he know about that?
No, that's he wasn't in No Worries If Not. That was a different show.
I know, but the producer was the same.
Yeah, he knows about it.
Yeah.
I like him.
I was on his radio show, but they invented that, where that came from, TikTok Taoiseach, and now there's been a whole, people like were researching, is this true? And actually, he is way ahead on the TikTok and all social media, but he's not
that's an ironic follow.
Yes, but it's like, he's not, no, because remember, see, people are of such short memories. All the like, people,
you think you've seen good
like,
content,
people, you mean
yeah, you've
me.
Seen nothing yet.
By people, you mean me have short memories.
No, but during the COVID, at one point when Simon Harris was seemingly quite capable, and then people were like, oh my God, I fancy Simon Harris. Or was it not? It was during Repeal the Eighth, maybe. And he was quite vocal about it. And people were like, oh my God, do I have a crush on Simon Harris? It was like, first of all, no, you do not. And no disrespect to Simon Harris. He's not to be judged on his looks, but if you did, he wouldn't do very well. But if you did, I'm not saying you should.
Clean.
Huh?
He's clean.
He probably has had a shower that
He
morning.
Looks like he's wearing his dad's suit. Every suit he wears looks a little bit too big for him.
It's hanging off the sleeves.
He looks like he's doing interview day in school or something like that. Like he's wearing his dad's kind of 1990s suit.
What I don't like about him, and I don't know if this is true, and I'm totally speculating, but he reminds me of the sort of people that you'd have be mates with in class, and they wouldn't say a lot, and they were a bit quiet, but then they joined the debate in society, and then they'd get up for their first debate and they'd say something really fucking barbed and personal at someone and be like kind of smug about it. Do you know what I mean? Like they didn't, they weren't good at sports, they weren't good at speech and drama, they weren't into any kind of like film or media to kind of build relationships. I'm not saying that they were on the spectrum or anything like that. They just didn't like anything. And then they just like got into politics because they couldn't find anything else to do and haven't had kind of real jobs and just want politics, want power because it's been denied of them for so long.
I like this. I don't believe. Let's play this. I think he reminds me of someone who's like just a, like a, like who used to push people into lockers and is really mean and awful.
Don't.
No. But we, you're like, I haven't met him, but this is what he reminds me of, and I'm gonna do that too.
Sure. Because it's pure someone, speculating.
Yeah, I just want to do some speculating here, baseless speculating.
Why don't you go for a wash? Flush.
Yeah, he's a bully. He's a bully.
Simon Harris has feelings, though. I don't think Leo Varadkar has any feelings. I don't, or actually,
feelings don't come easy.
I think probably, like, I think lots of Fine Gael, this of Fine Gael, or any people who are centre or centre right, whatever, I think they're like, they do have people often say, but Micheál, he's decent. He seems decent. And you're like, okay, but what about his policies that are so repressive for loads of people and painful? And I'm like, they are, but they're ignorant as well. They're ignorant.
There's something about him like
just
sport
close-minded
like.
About certain things that they're like, well, poor people are an awful nuisance, and you know they should just catch up if they want.
Mm.
If they were, that's, they're an awful pain in my side. Whichever way, stop being so poor.
If
that's
what
I feel like.
If they want to rent my house, they can. If they want to rent one of my many houses, feel free.
There was a good.
I feel
moment
like Micheál will give you a lift.
Micheál,
yeah,
Martin,
he would.
But things. So
there's something about
things.
Him like in sport or something. Like he's got like.
No,
passions.
He said that in the middle of when the pubs were closed, and he just said, "I know, I know." There is no one in Ireland who would like a lovely little pint more than me.
Mm.
Or he said at one time in the Dáil, and it's just one of those moments where you're like, oh Jesus, what are we like? But he was like, God, I would just love a pint. Mm. And I was just like, oh, I kind of like
that. But see,
there's
lots of things happening at once. I'm as lefty as they come, okay? I'm actually gay. I'm as gay as they come, right? So that
I'm a left-leaning misogynist.
Come all over my tits. But I think sometimes people like to say Egypt. People like to say, they're all the same. They're all shower. They're disgusting. Everyone's been raised in the same world, whatever. And people get confused. And I think sometimes those people who are right wingish people think like poor people are doing it on purpose, or disadvantaged people are doing it on purpose. I'm like, stop carrying on. I'm like, they are nice as well. They're good people somewhere too. There's a mix of things. There's more than one thing happening at the same time. I don't like the black and white. It's the grey areas I'm interested in when it comes to human people.
But I'd like to go into the Dáil and just go into where everyone's sitting and say, hands up here, who can play the guitar? And I bet you no one's going to put their fucking hand up.
You know who would? A few Labours, I'd say.
Maybe.
There's not many of them around.
Hands up here, who likes the film Terminator 2? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Say Gary Gannon would.
Gary Gannon would, yeah. He'd be like, favourite film.
It's class.
Easy one. Next.
And then you'd go, hands up who, but you'd be interrupted by the four chords of Wonderwall.
Oh, I'd like that.
And then you'd look up and it would be Richard Boyd Barrett.
Oh,
another
yeah.
turning point.
Of course, stuck in the room.
Holly Kearns would say, Taoiseach, you've been asked do you like the Terminator 2, and so many of our constituents do like Terminator 2.
Is that Holly?
That was Holly Kearns.
That's very good. That's a great Holly Kearns.
That was quite good, wasn't
that's
it?
Really
just
good.
Pulled that out of the bag. I've never done it before,
that's
and I just
great.
Felt like I just, that's what I actually went back on, even though the joke had progressed.
The
I went,
joke
I went. No, we have
you
to go
it.
Back to Terminator 2
it.
Because I needed the soft second T of Terminator.
Terminator.
That's what I needed there.
And the constituents.
And can you believe I've never been on Callan's Kicks the Years? Tell me who's doing Holly Kearns.
I think
nobody.
You need to be funny and popular, and I don't know if you guys...
You know what it is? You're very safe. Oh, sorry, I banged the microphone. You're very safe, whereas me and Tony are like, sexy cool, we can say anything.
I'm an RTE shill.
You're an RTE... Well, I was out there the other day.
You too, I got a sitcom they're making.
Okay, stop talking about that because I'm jealous of it.
Okay, you literally said I was out there. I will talk about it more when it's coming out. But
I was only out there chatting on the radio. Don't mind, I'm going out there again on Friday.
Are you? I read the fucking Kip.
I know.
They're just not that into you, Shane.
They get me.
All right,
you're
such a lick. They're just not that into you. They're into me and Killian.
They get me.
Now this is a new team. I'm loving this.
Oh, yeah, we got a little thing. We're ganging up on Shane again.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, I have things I can't talk about. I can't talk about that.
Great, can't talk about it.
I love when
I hear you use great Facebook. Yeah. So excited. Can't talk about it now, but oh my God, I'm over the moon.
Mm.
Fuck off.
That's not.
I want to know. You've actually ruined my day. You pained me now because I'm curious. And then I'm going to start looking up your Instagram, seeing if there's any little clues because I'm a fucking freak.
Yeah.
How dare you put that up there? Because I'm a sleuth. I'm a cyber sleuth.
Yeah.
And I have no end. Like, I have an eternal battery for fucking snooping online. So don't be dropping little tidbits like that unless you're going to tell me.
And you got time.
Yeah. I got none but time.
Big things coming.
Big things coming.
There's a good book about sort of influencer things by Sophie White, an author, and it's really good, but she does a really good thing about the kind of like big news coming. Like, it's someone who has kind of like a vacuous influencer lifestyle or whatever, and who is just, you know, living a life exclusively online, and the real life differs completely from the social media life. But she does a big, like, every Thursday, she's like, or once a month, she'd be like, big news coming. on Monday, but then the news never comes. But the big news coming post like gets a lot of wow. traction and people engage with it. But the news is never a thing. But it like the idea of, oh, I saw that that person was busy, or, oh, that person has something coming, I think. You never find out what it is, but it gives this allure
yeah.
or something.
Yeah,
like
even
that.
If you never find the payoff, there's a comedian.
It's like Tony, he doesn't actually have a sitcom with RT, but.
No, but big yeah. things coming. So.
There's a comedian, Fern Brady, Scottish comedian, and she had to do, like, you know, tease her announcement. She was obviously being told by whoever.
Yeah.
You should talk about your announcement coming up, and she found this all mortifying, so she kept saying, anyway, my announcement. Oh, my announcement's coming. My announcement's on Monday, okay? I thought the announcement was tomorrow, but my announcement's on Monday. And it was kind of like, obviously, everyone, you're looking at it and you go, a man on the street would go, right, comedian of certain stature, doing very well. It's obviously a Netflix special. And you just wait for her to say it's a Netflix special. Yeah. You can guess what it is, whatever. But then she announced it by doing a screen record of a video call with her dad.
Funny.
And she's like, have you got Netflix? And she's like, she's in Australia,
yeah.
And he's like, have you got Netflix? And he's like, no. And she's like, do you know what it is? And he's like, something to do with the Sky TV. She's like, yeah, grand, because I'm just saying I've got my show is going to be on Netflix special and I don't want you to watch it. And he's like, okay, I'll not bother. And she's like, yeah, grand.
And that's like, so funny.
Because it's good, because that's like most conversations with your dad when you're abroad are like that. It's like, anything else? No? Okay. All right, I'll see you.
Yeah.
You're okay? Okay, good.
Your dad's German. Does he be into the weather? Like, or is that like, I know Irish people are a lot into the weather just to talk to each other.
I think the Irish approach to the weather is less checking and knowing what the weather is. Like, I feel like Irish people are constantly shocked by what the weather is.
Yeah.
You look outside and you're like, what the fuck? It's sunny today. Whereas if you actually like looked at the weather this week, the forecast, you'd see it's going to be sunny this week or whatever. So it's kind of like he looks at it in advance and he's rarely surprised at the weather. So he doesn't really talk about it in that way.
I listened to Radio 1 this morning. I'm talking a lot about Radio 1 today. But there was like, it'll be sunny with the odd shower. I love that.
I love all the things. Remember when it snowed at the start of March? It snowed 1st of March, same day as my sold out Baker Street. And it's snow fell. And then the guy said, he was interviewed or whatever, he met from Met Aaron, and he was like, what he meant was, this is a very unpredictable event. And actually, we didn't know yesterday. We didn't know till 1 a.m. last night, and you were all asleep, so what's the point? But what he said, what the quote they pulled from him was, you'd want to have a crystal ball. I just thought it sounds so passive. Oh, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Forecast the weather? Yeah. What the fuck's wrong? I don't know if it's going to snow, you pricks. It was like, they really did a number on them there. But I enjoyed it.
I love that we are in an age where we can predict the future weather. Like, that's incredible. You know,
we can see it.
We can know. You can literally just, with a few taps of your phone, know the future. You can predict the future. And like, nearly everyone was like, yeah, I'm Grant. Don't bother checking. Like, what? You can know the future.
We don't want to know the future that much.
We're like, nah, Grant, don't. Oh, well.
We also know the world's getting too hot and we have to stop. But we're like, I don't know. I'm pretty into my car.
Oh, you had to make us feel.
I'm just saying, maybe it's a thing. There's a futurology thing. Maybe it's a thing of we don't want to know the future and we should never know. And
there have been ice ages before and there have been.
No.
We're only going
to have that.
We're so arrogant to think that we are so important.
We are.
One day I'm going to do, you know, the way the Extinction Rebellion are interrupting like plays and things like that. One day I'm going to do that to this podcast. There are 50 million species who have been extinct in the last, there have been three great extinction moments. You guys are like trying to keep, Killian. Talk about where you were on holidays last week.
Yeah.
Shane, do that bit about, no, you will not silence
fucks
me.
Fucks red paint on us.
But it is true. Maybe someone should do that. Text the address.
I love
head stuff so that can happen to us. Because
I love
it's important
to do. That generation are just leaning into being like, I'm just going to be super fucking annoying because you hate that more than anything. Like,
yeah.
I'm just going to be annoying. I'm going to ruin something.
It's great.
Like, it's not, I love that. I think that is such an it's incredible piece of activism.
Big dad energy. Oh, that generation. I thought you meant the older people are going
to
be really annoying
too. That's the whole thing. It's like you're trying to speak to the older generation. Like, I'm going to fucking piss you off until you're like,
because
what are you going to do? It's not going to be like, you know, you can arrest people and they're let go because it's not that big, but you're just—it's just really annoying for older people. Yeah.
But actually,
that's great.
It's a taste of their own medicine because dads have enjoyed annoying people for generations.
I don't like to be lumped in with like. I think you're going for like an older.
I mean,
kind
like
of dad
our body. Dads.
Okay, Grant.
They like annoying you.
They do.
Like, and people always make fun of dad jokes, and I always think, if you make fun of a dad joke or you excuse me, if you groan at your dad's dad joke, he wins.
Yeah.
All he wants to do is annoy you, and I think he wins. Every they love annoying you so much.
I've understood where the dad joke comes from. It comes from just, you know, and I'm not there yet, but like it comes from kind of like, I don't give a fuck. This isn't even like a real world. I've been here a long time. This isn't even real.
Yeah,
so if you
groan,
it's like, this isn't even real.
It's
like,
so checked out. It's like reality.
When, it's like when dads join Twitter and just say something like maybe like obnoxious because they think that's just like leaving a post out on a lamppost. They don't realize it's like leaving it out on the internet. Yeah, yeah,
and it's harmful.
So yeah, they'd be like, you know, like that's where they're kind of like, who? You know, or like Olivia, you know, Olivia Rodrigo video or something like that. They don't give a fuck. They think this is not real. Yeah. You know, the consequences aren't real. The cases are real.
No, we're not. We're not. No one needs to clear their name.
No,
but I would like if someone did that to the podcast. If some extinction rebel throw some soup on us.
I'd just edit it out, and these bloody people should get a bloody job. If not me, I was driving down the M4 and a whole load of bloody hairy hippies.
If they want to paint something, they can paint the fence in my local park. They're not painting over the Mona Lisa.
The Mona Lisa's covered in a thick layer of glass. You think I'm going to paint the screen and disrupt? People are trying to get to work, which you should do. That's what I say.
Mona Lisa's shit.
Oh, I'm getting a phone call.
Oh, take it.
Yeah, people do that.
I don't have my phone. Oh, maybe I do.
Oh my God. We started this episode with Killian.
Oh, I do have my phone.
Oh my God.
Great.
Killian, sit down. Tell us about this. So Killian we started off and he said, I don't have my phone. And we were like, oh my God. Do you want to take the call?
Okay.
Who is it?
Hello?
Hi, this is a call from Revolut. Your Revolut card has been charged for €79 on Amazon.
Killian!
If that's not you, then press 1 to talk to a Revolut executive and cancel the transaction or hung up the call to authorize the payment.
Press 1.
Guys, this sounds really serious. Do you mind if I...
press 1.
What does press 1 do?
Press 1.
I don't want to press 1.
Press 1, it speaks to them.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, I got a call there about some sort of charge on my Revolut.
He bottled it.
He blimped it.
Oh man, I was going to get his number and send him the hippopotamus meme.
Oh my God, he bottled. That was a scam thing.
That was a scam, yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
He fucking blimped it big time.
You
pussy.
Life scams. Here are comedian roasts scammer.
I was hoping for something. Yeah, there. That's a shame. And you didn't think you had your phone today. That's crazy.
That's amazing. I just found my phone. I didn't know I had it.
What a joy.
What a life. I'd love to be walking around there just feeling,
thinking you have no phone.
Don't have
you
my phone.
Do have your phone. Yeah. Oh, that's hot.
So, sorry. That was a call from a scammer.
Yeah.
Yes. I pressed 1.
To speak to someone. It said hang up if you want to process the payment.
It said hung up, actually.
Hung up if you want to process the payment or press 1 to speak to someone.
But I spoke to him. Why didn't he want to scam me?
Because he blimped it. He's probably sitting there in the call center and he's like, oh fuck, no one normally picks up. I don't know what to do. Man hung up.
Yeah, I've been there before. Was my money no good for him?
Guess not.
You're saying this now, Killian's whole entire life is being ransacked now by a hacker because he pressed 1. The idea of that, like your bank.
No, don't say
he's clearing out your bank accounts as we speak.
Wait, what? What?
Or maybe
that's not possible. They don't have that.
They
probably put your number now on a list of people of gullible fools. And that's what they're doing. Fucking blasted now, which is very exciting.
Guys, just to sort of cap it off, if you could vote for me, Gossy have nominated me for this year's Gullible Fool. And,
that's great.
Yeah, well, why don't you play it like your man Baz, who got scammed and then made a mint out of it by doing all the Bank of Ireland ads for the anti-scamming and just general Bank of Ireland ads got his mother involved as well. Fair play to you, Baz.
Fair play to you, Baz.
Good job,
people
Baz.
People are very industrious, aren't they? I don't have that kind of spirit. I need to develop it.
No, I don't have
listen,
that.
We probably should wrap up because it's been a podcast of many things today.
It has.
And do you know what? It's been a joy. It's been a joy to sit here with you and talk on such wide-ranging topics.
We need to stop this podcast because I need to rush to call my bank account and tell them that we are currently being cleared out. Mm. And that €10 is gone. It's gone.
Well, it was €79 they said it was. They were going to...
That's when I knew it was wrong. I was like, there's not that much in the account.
Revolut.
But guys, just to sort of... talk a little bit about the sort of betterment program that we are running as the Young Hot Guys.
Yes.
For just €5 a month, we've got some really incredible testimonials that we'll share. But today we've got two world leading doctors on to talk about the sort of, basically you pay €5 a month or more to the program, the Young Hot Guys Plus, that you can get on Headstuff Plus, and you get some really incredible benefits. A lot of guys have talked about their sort of their vim and stuff and
fervor.
Has returned to them for fervor.
Do you think of how much you'd be paying for a gym?
Yeah.
On average, maybe what? €170, €200 a week.
Yeah.
For only €5 a month, you can actually join the subscription service. We will give you a itemized plan, how to be a better lad, how to be a misogynist, how to not like women, and just hear a couple of gas stories with a couple of cool blokes. Yeah. And that's actually on Headstuff Plus, you can get it, and it's the Younger Guys podcast.
And Shane, a lot of women also subscribe to this podcast, and they say it's been bettering them as well. And how has that been happening?
Women have so much to learn from men, Killian. Men have for long been so dominant, half the species, that women do have a lot to learn, a lot to catch up on. And that's simply nature. That's genetics. It's biology. And they do need to catch up. And this is an excellent way for just €5 a month on Headstuff Plus.
Well, I don't know if that's quite the case, Shane. I think a lot of women really enjoy the podcast and feel like that's...
Simp.
No, I just think that, you know, all spectrums are...
Like a simp there, my friend.
No, I don't think it's simp to say that, you know...
Yeah, you obviously never made your bird cum, so...
Ooh, sorry,
it's four parts. Sorry, funny.
Maybe I need to subscribe to the Headstuff Plus. Anyway, that might have successfully made.
No, do subscribe to our podcast over on Headstuff Plus. It's a lot of fun.
Support the pod.
If you can't afford it, just subscribe on the apps on Spotify or whatever and give us the 5 stars. That's good.
Yeah. Do that,
please.
Thank you very much for listening. We really appreciate it always. And lots
go
of love.
Go see Shane in Australia right now and go see me on tour. Check out my Instagram for all those deets.
Yeah.
Not his tour, though. Bye.
Bye.
Hot, loud,
and a little bit sad.
He was the best guy around.
Oh my, is it hot in here or what?
You're an attractive guy.
It's the fabulous Tony Cantwell.
I'm talking about Shane Daniel Byrne.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.